Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
About to be joined by Tim McMahon of ESPN.com to discuss the Rockets. Are the Rockets the biggest threat to the Warriors? They aren't right now, but will they be when playoff time comes around? We'll talk to one of the best NBA writers about that. Could I interest you in a fact?
You know I love good facts.
Did you know that last season, despite the fact that he only played seven games, Kiki Coutee was the fourth leading receiver on the Houston Texans? He had 28 receptions. That was the fourth most on the entire team.
You have a really big crush on Kiki Coutee.
I'm starting to be won over by Kiki Coutee, who, by the way, had 11 catches or more twice. That only happened three times last season for the Houston Texans. DeAndre Hopkins had the other one. Maybe you've heard of him. But Kiki was at the TriStar Collector Show. He was moving pretty well, and he was asked, how is hamstrings feeling right now? This is Kiki Coutee on how he's living.
The hamstring is good. I get that question every day of my life. So I'm still resting a little bit, but I'm about to start that training. So it's 100%.
I'm starting to become very, very high on the Texans' skill position players. I understand that you could add another playmaker at running back. I think Tevin Coleman of the Falcons would make sense, mm-hmm. who has the second most receptions among running backs since 2016. I think he would be a nice weapon to add. What they hope Tyler Irvin would be, he actually already is, but When you look at Will Fuller and what he's done with Deshaun Watson, you look at DeAndre Hopkins and what he does with anybody, you look at Kiki Coutee and what he did in a short time, and the fact that it was kind of a little bit of an escape from the norm when it comes to the injuries. I think these receivers and the progression of Deshaun Watson, as well as the second year tight ends, I love the options that Deshaun Watson has to throw to. And that's before they even bring in anybody else.
Oh no, make no mistake. I absolutely do. And I think the guy could be a star. I mean, it's fine if he's 100% now. I mean, it doesn't matter now. You know, it just matters once he gets going in OTAs and training camp and such that he can stay healthy for a full year. But, I mean, you've said in the past he never had injury problems at Texas Tech.
It's a fact.
But the problem is he had repeated injury hamstring issues.
But I also think they're misleading. I think they're misleading. And this is why. Mm-hmm. I get early on having to keep him out. But I think as the season went on and as the season shaped out, mm-hmm. I think they could have played Kiki Coutee a little later on in the season, specifically last 4 weeks.
Couldn't they? But I mean, wouldn't they have?
I think they could have, but I think they were erring on the side of caution so that they could have him ready for the playoff game. And oh, by the way, in that playoff game, he had 11 catches, mm-hmm. just like he did at the start of the season when he made his debut. So even when he's off the field, the second he comes on, he produces. I think they knew what they had with Kiki Coutee, so they saved him for the playoffs. I expect Kiki Coutee to have a big, big year next year. And if you're playing fantasy football, might be a little too early to prepare for your draft or about 7 months away. Keep an eye on Kiki Coutee in the middle to late rounds. We're 1 month away from the NFL Combine. And 30 days from now, I think it might be one of the most exciting days in NFL offseason history.
What's that?
And I'll tell you why. Because free agency is going to start, so we're going to see players signing. We pretty much see where they're going to go a couple days before with the legal tampering. Kyler Murray is going to have his pro day the same day that free agency starts. So I can only speak for myself. I don't know what the hell you're going to do, J-Lo, but I'm going to be on NFL Network, and I'm just going to be posted up. I might treat this like March Madness. Everybody talks about March Madness. You want to go watch the games? I'm going to be watching the NFL Network and ESPN all day with Kyler Murray's pro day, the reaction that comes with that, along with the start of NFL free agency. We're 30 days away from one of the most exciting days that I can remember in NFL offseason.
March 13th is a Wednesday, my friend. We will have that TV on that wall over there on the NFL Network, and we will not move it. No, I agree with you. It's funny that he picked that day. He had to have known that that's when.
Does he think he can go under the radar or what?
That's what I'm wondering. If he's like, okay, they'll be so focused on all the breaking news that I can just work out for the NFL teams. But it's not like people wouldn't know it. I mean, you know.
Remember when George Bush went to Johnny Manziel's pro day and Barbara, rest in peace to both of them. They were out there rolling around. There's been some crazy pro days, but
it's an entire event now, man.
But Kyler, I think the Kyler drama is going to start, and I think this is where it's going to build up to that day. simply on the first day of the combine.
Yeah.
When and that's 15 days away, believe it or not. I mean, mm-hmm. things are starting to get crazy, but 15 days from now, Kyler Murray's going to have to get measured. It's going to be, is this the most anticipated measurement of all time?
I don't know, because if he's 5'10", I'll be surprised.
If he's 5'10", I'm 6'10".
Yeah. He might be. It's hard to tell.
Come on, man. It's pretty easy to tell.
He looks pretty small, but he's standing next to big dudes.
We'll see. Texans could have serious competition for the services of Tyrann Mathieu. Bruce Arians was his coach in Arizona. He's going to be the coach in Tampa Bay next year. They could be linked, and they could be competing for the services of Tyrann Mathieu. But I've said it throughout the course of the show. It looks like things are shaping up, and I think Kareem Jackson's going to be gone, and I think Tyrann Mathieu will be back with the Texans. And I think if they overpay for anything during free agency,
yeah,
I think it's going to be cornerback depth, and they're going to try to improve the depth along that unit.
It stands to reason. I really believe Tyrann Mathieu wants to play here. That doesn't mean that that's going to be his decision, though, because the Texans might make a big run at him, but somebody else might make a bigger run at him, or just as big with a better fit. You know, the Bears keep scaring me, and I haven't seen them mentioned as much as Tampa Bay, but putting Tyrann Mathieu where he's protected more in coverage, you know, on a defense like that, just makes more sense. And it would make more sense for him, too.
Grammys last night. Did you watch them,
J-Mo? I did. I watched more than I thought I would.
I watched most of them as well. Yeah. Julian Edelman and Devin McCourty, they presented an award. This is what that sounded like. I threw up in my mouth when I saw these two Patriots go up to the stage.
L.A., thank you for the cheers. Also, thank you for the boos. I appreciate you supporting your community.
We're here tonight with music's most valuable players to present a very super award. Best pop duo or group performance. And the Grammy goes to... We got
here. Shallow, Lady Gaga, and Bradley Cooper.
Your thoughts on their presenting skills?
They need better writers. Come on now.
What do you think of Lauryn Hill?
It's a kickoff.
No, Alicia Keys. What did you think of Alicia Keys?
When she did the two pianos simultaneously, they were like perpendicular to each other. The pianos, and yeah, she was playing them at the same time, and she did a medley of songs. She's outstanding.
Yeah, she wasn't wearing makeup either.
She doesn't have to.
I know, but damn, dude. Like, yeah, even people who don't have to wear it every once in a while, she wasn't wearing an ounce of makeup.
She is beloved in that industry, man.
My girl got really upset that Kacey Musgrave won best album. She does not get it. She does not think that she doesn't see the fascination. I know she's a Texan, and I know our sister stations were proud, but my girl did not understand that. And I was upset she beat out Post Malone, to be honest with you.
Post Malone had a good performance, too.
Yeah, with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Post Malone.
Is Flea too old to be jumping around like that?
No, I mean, he's still doing it. Have you seen them in concert?
No, but both my sons are like huge.
I've seen them in concert, and they're badass.
They say the same thing. But I'm like, he just looked a little bit like...
He looks like a poser?
Yeah. No, well, he's really that, but I'm like, dude, you're going to hurt you. You're going to break a hip. You know?
Those musicians stay in shape. Post Malone's not only going to win multiple Grammys, I think 30 years from now, he's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. I think... This is something nobody's talking about.
Oh, here we go.
I think Post Malone might create his own music genre.
He has. He's kind of doing it.
Because...
That song, he started with a vocal and then turned into a rap.
Look up.
Which that was my favorite. Do you remember? That was my favorite song when I reviewed
that album
when it came out.
He's started out in hip hop, but if you go back and you can Google some of his covers, like he has some amazing covers, like with the guitar. Mm-hmm. Now it looks like he's going towards rock, but he loves country. He has George Strait tatted on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what you can say as he progresses, what his genre is going to be. Mm-hmm. He produces his own songs. He writes his own songs. He plays the instruments. I think this guy could create a music genre.
I think it's going to be very
interesting.
That.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Shout out to Grapevine High School, by the way. Vince Young was also at the TriStar show with Kiki Kuti. He's been pulled over for drunk driving or charged with drunk driving for the second time in 3 years.
Oh, here you go.
No. When it first came out, the news first came out, he basically released an apology.
Yeah.
And he apologized to his fans and anyone he let down. Looks like he's kind of changed his tone just a little bit because David Nuno of ABC 13 caught up with Vince Young. And this was Vince at the TriStar show on his recent arrest for drunken driving.
Everything is good, man. Everything happened. Things happen for a reason. I'm not fighting myself, fought nobody, or blaming nobody. You know, things happen. I got a real good lawyer, Paul Doyer, is one of the best in Houston. So we're going to fight the case. I mean, it's just an allegation. I mean, I'm not guilty, but happy to be here. That's in the past. But right now, I'm just happy to be here supporting our fans.
Is any words for your fans?
I love you, baby. Hook 'em on.
Even he laughed. Even he laughed when he said, "I'm not
guilty."
What
are you laughing at?
He said, "I'm not guilty," and then laughed.
What are you innocent till proven guilty?
Oh no,
John.
I get that. But he said, "I got a good lawyer," and then he goes, "We're gonna fight it. I'm not guilty," and he laughed.
You think his lawyer wishes he hadn't released that apology?
Is it Rusty?
No, it's not Rusty.
It's not Rusty?
No, it's another prominent lawyer. Why didn't he hire Rusty? Rusty looks like he's living the life, though.
Yeah, Rusty. Maybe Rusty only takes the big cases.
Maybe Rusty wouldn't. Shut up, man. This is as big as it gets. This is Vince Young. This is a Longhorn legend.
Yeah, it is.
If you will. Alliance of American Football opened this weekend. Nationally, it outdrew the Rockets 2-1 to 2.0. 73-year-old Steve Spurrier leads the Orlando team to a win over Atlanta. Your biggest takeaways from the Alliance of American Football.
Well, I know we're going to dig into this in 15 minutes a lot deeper, but the big takeaway is kind of what we mentioned a second ago in the last segment. The NBA has plateaued, right? Is that
really?
I think the NBA has plateaued. It's grown and grown and grown. It's really been able to build a bigger fan base. It's crossed over a lot more. And you know what I'm talking about. That's not being ignorant or biased or anything. But I think it's plateaued because people will watch any football more than the NBA. The numbers are right in front of you. That's not an opinion. They did it this weekend. It wasn't just one game either. It was repeatedly.
I think the regular season is a little bit strange in the NBA.
To be fair, yes. Point. I'm talking about the regular season.
Yeah, the regular season and the playoffs to a certain point because everybody just assumes that the Warriors are gonna win it and everybody else is playing for second. Mm-hmm. Rockets host the Mavericks tonight. This is two nights after blowing a 22-point lead on that national stage. 117-112, they fall apart. Chris Paul passed Mookie Blaylock for 11th all-time on the NBA assist. James Harden with his 29th straight 30-plus point game. No better guy to talk about the Rockets, and maybe if they are the biggest competition to the Warriors, than ESPN's Tim McMahon, who joins the show right now. Tim McMahon, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing good, man. You threw this hypothetical out to me a long time ago, and I picked 60. It's the first time I've actually taken one of your ideas without you taking mine. But Luka Doncic in town. Luka's in town for to face the Rockets. 20 points per game this year. One of the best rookies we've seen in a long time. It's a no-brainer that goes without saying. If you could trade James Harden for Luka right now, I think anybody in their right mind would do that.
Yeah, and look, that's basically just because of the age difference. I mean,
yes.
Luka Doncic is 19 years old and putting up numbers that no 19-year-old in NBA history ever has. I mean, the only guy who's come close is LeBron. And I'm not sitting here trying to tell you he's going to be LeBron. I mean, he's not that freakish kind of athlete. But, boy, this guy, I mean, if you put the over-under at 12 All-Star appearances for him, I'd probably take the over.
Yikes.
I'll put it to you like that. And honestly, I think the best comparison for Luka Doncic is James Harden. We'll see if he's ever that kind of a scorer, but you know they have the same type of athleticism. It's not, you know, jump out of the gym or you know blow by guys, but it's that stop and start, the ability to slam on the brakes and put it in reverse. You know, the step back, the vision. I don't think he's got quite as quick of a first step. But he is 2 or 3 inches taller than James Harden. Like I said, I just think that's probably the best comparison for him in the league. And, you know, here James Harden is about to win a second straight MVP.
Are we falling into the trap of, well, the Rockets have not had their full lineup, you know, all year long? Because there are other issues with this team that I see, rebounding being one of them. Their defense is not quite what it was last year. And, oh, by the way, if you're playing 60 games – without being able to rely on Chris Paul, that's probably what you are.
Well, and look, Chris Paul's durability, availability, however you want to put it, is obviously a huge concern going forward for the rest of this season and the rest of that contract. You know, cross your fingers that Chris Paul can stay healthy for the playoffs, that he'll be healthy going in and can remain healthy. Obviously, that's a concern. As far as the defense and rebounding, no question those are issues. But at the same time, you say, well, Clint Capella can,
right.
You know, he goes a long way towards helping to solve those issues. I mean, Kent Fareed, for a guy they picked up off the scrap heap, has been just an unbelievable find. But you want Fareed to be a 15-20-minute-per-game guy, not a guy you've got to play 30, 35 minutes. And, you know, the drop-off from Fareed to from Capella to Fareed defensively is just immense. I mean, Fareed's got no chance against guys like Jokic, whereas, you know, Capella has actually worn out the Nuggets. So, I do buy a little bit into, you know what, these guys really haven't all been healthy and you know, able to roll together. But, you know, we'll see that after the All-Star break. We'll see what they can do going down the stretch, where they end up in the seeding. And I still think, in terms of challengers to the Warriors, I still think the Rockets probably have as good a chance as anybody in the West, which is, say, not a very good chance.
Talking to Tim McMahon of ESPN.com, he's in town to cover the Mavericks versus the Rockets tonight. You just answered my question. I was going to ask if you thought they were the biggest threat to the Warriors, but I want to talk about Daryl Morey. And it wasn't a good offseason for Daryl Morey, especially when you look at locking up Chris Paul to the contract that you had to give him, but it's not looking like it's going to be very flattering the years 2 through 4, and then bringing in Carmelo Anthony. But you mentioned the in-season moves, bringing in Fareed, bringing in Austin Rivers. If you had to give Daryl Morey an overall grade from offseason to now, what would it be?
You know what? I would say an A-plus in-season and a C off-season. Look, the Chris Paul contract, it was official in the off-season. That was not an off-season decision. That's a decision that's made when you trade for him. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's no way that you're going to get as close to the mountaintop with Chris Paul and then basically renege on the decision that you've already made to re-up him for 4 years.
Right.
I can't hold that against him. You swung for the fences acquiring him from the Clippers with the understanding that there'd be a max contract to come. You followed through on your commitment after you won 65 games and, you know, went to game 7 of the West Finals and probably win that series if he doesn't pull his hammy. Everything else he did in the offseason was with financial handcuffs on him. It's not like he made a big commitment to Melo that he couldn't get out of. I think it was an unnecessary addition. It was, it was star hunting for a guy who obviously is no longer a star, really no longer an adequate NBA player. But when you're able to add 3 quality rotation pieces in the middle of the season and sneak your way under the luxury tax, which, you know, doesn't matter to fans, but certainly matters to the guy who signs the checks. I mean, that's really impressive work.
Kevin Durant can talk or not talk with whomever he wants, but does he really expect us all to believe that he doesn't know what's going on with free agency coming up?
I mean, look, KD is obviously an immense talent. He has the right to go wherever he wants to go. But he's also the most thin-skinned superstar in all sports. And he just made things worse with that whole deal.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're not being asked every day. Like, what are you talking about? You haven't been asked about it for weeks, if not months. I don't believe he's been asked about free agency since Draymond was, you know, MFing him in his face for the world to see about it on the court. Yeah, he was asked about it after that. It's kind of a story at that point. But then the Knicks make this trade, unload, you know, contracts. They're in a position to max out 2 guys. There'd already been a ton of buzz about KD going to New York. Yeah, he was going to be asked about it. Him avoiding the media for 9 days didn't exactly hush the buzz or the speculation about him going to New York City. So I don't know, you know, what he thought he was accomplishing there, but obviously that blew up in his face.
Tim, we appreciate you for joining the show. Love your work. Big fan of what you do, man.
Oh, shut up, Landry. Good boy.
All right,
you too,
McMahon.
Man.
That's Tim McMahon of ESPN.com. He's in town covering Mavs Rockets tonight. Does a good job out there at ESPN. And buddy of mine, regardless of how he acts, he can go to hell. Go to hell, Tim.
I can tell he'll be a buddy of mine if how he acts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.